Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer. Today, joined by Morris. Let's get into the first news story of today, and this is being described by some in the media as the ANC's Hail Mary election strategy for the end of the election period. So we are now less than 1 week to go until South Africa votes in the 2024 national and provincial elections. There's a lot to play for. We are seeing interesting surveys which suggest that a much larger than normal number of South Africans have yet to decide who to vote for. And the polling that we're seeing coming out of the Social Research Foundation's tracking poll suggests a lot of volatility in the way the election is going. In fact, while the ANC seemed to be recovering slightly the past couple of days, their vote share seems to be down again. Now, it's difficult to say what the final result is going to be, particularly if there's a lot of undecideds. But it's again in this context that the ANC has announced that it's not just going to finalize a basic income grant policy, which it has sort of promised in its manifesto, but that it's going to finalize a basic income grant policy within 2 years of a new ANC administration. And this is going to put a lot of stress on the fiscus if you think that Treasury hasn't really planned for this kind of thing, I don't think. The ANC said, in line with its policy resolutions and manifesto, the current social relief of distress grant, which was introduced during COVID, it's around 350 rand a month to households that are in severe distress, would be extended to a much larger number of people and extended in the amount of money it pays. They said, quote, to address the exclusion of a large number of people, we will improve the value of the grant and extend it to reach more beneficiaries. We support a basic income grant that benefits all individuals without work-seeking conditions. This grant will alleviate poverty and hunger for all vulnerable people, including caregivers, the unemployed, and those in precarious employment. The ANC is committed to financing the basic income grant through progressive mechanisms to ensure financial sustainability and equitable redistribution. This means higher taxes, but the party's has said that it will explore, quote, new progressive tax measures, including a social security tax, and was also considering more diverse funding sources, although it's not clear what those will be. At the same time, the Household General Survey, which looks at the sort of provision of services across society, has also come out. And there's a lot of interesting facts in there, some of which shows the ways that the ANC has actually in some way succeeded at transforming the country in terms of provision of some basic services such as water and housing and such. But also, and I think this very closely ties to the thing we were just talking about, the number of South African households which are surviving primarily off of grants as their main source of income. In 2009, just as South Africa was leaving its growth path and heading into the kind of economic malaise that we've been in, about 21% of people were living off of grants as their main source of income. In 2020, during the COVID lockdowns, that number went up to 28.8%. It's now come down to 23% in 2023. That means, Michael, that we have made negative progress in getting South Africans free from grants and into the workforce over the last, more than a decade now. And I think this really neatly explains why the ANC might think that, a massive increase in the basic income grant will effectively boost it come this election. What do you make of this, Michael?
A lot of issues there, all critical to our condition in South Africa. They have a lot to say about the economy, but also about the way we think about our problems. And it's very telling that what the government automatically thinks of, or by impulse thinks of, first of all, is spending money to rescue people from the results of its own policies. So that's effectively what it is. If they're not focusing on generating economic growth and stimulating job creation, and they surely now know that the government itself is incapable of doing that in any sustainable and sensible way. The only way to do it is to create conditions which allow the private sector to grow and develop, and in that way you have a really sustainable and dynamic basis for people earning a living and fending for themselves. Instead of that, we have this focus on, as you say, a new progressive tax or new progressive tax measures and more spending. And, you know, it's just bizarre, really, when you think about it in our present condition, that a basic income grant that they're contemplating will be in addition to existing grants. And those figures that you were mentioning that have been revealed by the statistician general, Rusenge Maluleke, there's this fascinating fact as well, that the proportion of households and individuals benefiting from social grants has risen from 12.8% in 2003, that's 20 years ago, 12.8 to 39.4. And that really is an astonishing climb, and really does tell you about the distressed nature of South African society, and it's South Africa's poor, whom the ANC is turning to and saying, you know, give us your vote, and we'll continue giving you the goodies. And it's not altogether clear that people are still falling for that. We'll have to see. It's a very exciting election. As you indicated, there are a lot of undecided votes by the looks of things, undecided voters. And clearly people are, you know, looking at everything that's coming at them. NHI, basic income grant, the DA with its propositions, other parties saying things. And they're having to sort of choose. And you know, there is now a very a solid record of data as coming out of the Statistician General's household survey, for instance, which gives us an idea of how we've been doing so far. And I think the certainly from our point of view, the evidence suggests that we do need a very different approach to things like the economy and how we help people. And there are a number of us in the IRR, I think most of us, feel very strongly that grants are an essential safety net in an environment like ours where there is so much poverty. But there has to be a much, much more deliberate and sensible approach to turning the economy into one that actually liberates people from their miseration and exclusion from the economy.
Exactly. You can't have a shrinking tax base, a rising unemployment rate, a sluggish economy, and then also increase grants. You need to you know, make sure the economy is growing. You need to make sure that people are finding work, which is the only real way to get out of poverty. A grant may keep you from starving, but it's not going to get you out of poverty, whereas a job has that potential to do. And until those larger economic factors are fixed, you know, the grant system is not going to do anything other than make poverty slightly more comfortable for until the government runs out of money, which unfortunately seems to be a growing prospect, although we're thankfully not there yet. But as you say, you know, 85% of respondents in South Africa, according to Afrobarometer, say the country is going in the wrong direction. That comports with surveys the IRR has done. And 62% of respondents say they're not satisfied with how South Africa's democracy is working. So it's generally a consensus, I think, out there in society that something has to change. Now, there's a lot of difference over what that should be. And I think the ANC here is probably promising something that looks a little bit more of the same to what it's been doing up till now. But, you know, maybe this will sway voters. I think, you know, considering the significant number of undecided voters and the difficulty of working turnout and all those sort of things, it's we're in an election now where the ANC could get anything from just over 50% to maybe the low 40s or even high 30s, which would be a political earthquake, to be sure. In fact, kind of in a sense, I think either of those results would be a political earthquake. According to reporting from News 24, the DA's latest internal research seems to be comporting with the Social Research Foundation's polling, suggesting that the DA is sitting on around 26% and the ANC around 43%, with the MK party seeming to go up and down every single day, ranging everywhere from 7% to 13%. So a lot to play for still in this election, but we shall have to see. I think very exciting time. I'm certainly very excited about how this
election is going. I think it is. And I also get the sense that perhaps people, you know, this might be the election that restores people's sense of the importance of electoral politics and of making different choices, and really making an effort to sort of understand what's at stake and taking part. So let's certainly hope so. It's certainly been, it's been a big push, hasn't it, from the IRR too, with its Pledge to Vote campaign and so on. And our conviction that, you know, people are the agents of their fate, and this is one of the key moments where we can exercise that agency. So yeah,
you know, very exciting. One of my least favorite views in politics is that voting changes nothing, which, you know, maybe in North Korea is true, but
yeah.
I think that even in societies that are not particularly free, voting is a very, very powerful tool. It is a mass thing. Mm. It is a system by which society really can have an impact. It doesn't always have the impact people want. Politicians don't always do what they should with the votes they're given. But I do think that it has more power to change the way that things work in a country than basically any other kind of political activity, including protests or tax boycotts or whatever. Yeah. The hell you want to do. I encourage everyone listening to this podcast, if you are registered to vote, if you're not registered, unfortunately it's too late, but if you are registered to vote, please do go out on Wednesday next week and make your mark, and also go to pledgetovote.co.za and sign up so you can get all the latest info on voting. Right, I think we have time for just one more quick story, and this is about the city of Joburg, which is, yeah, in my view, as a resident of Joburg, much beleaguered at the moment in terms of how it is functioning. There's currently a strike affecting large parts of the city, preventing the provision of waste collection services. Garbage trucks aren't being able to go out of the depot. We talked about that a few days ago. But now we've got a warning from Johannesburg's electricity provider, 30 Power, who says that residents are in danger of prolonged power outages if they don't use electricity sparingly. Apparently, Eskom being able to provide us with all this wonderful uncapped electricity, as some people have described it, before the election, is putting a kind of strain on Joburg's electricity infrastructure. City Power said that the system in Johannesburg is facing strain due to high consumption and a recent drop in temperatures. They said, quote, this will negatively impact essential services such as healthcare, small business, schools, traffic lights, and vulnerable individuals who are on oxygen and dependent on uninterrupted power supply. If the equipment explodes due to overloading, which could have been prevented, we will have prolonged outages, which will really be imminent, and delays will occur in repairing the damage and replacing the equipment. So, in other words, Joburg seems to be willing, seems to be on the verge of giving itself its own version of load shedding, even though the amount of electricity coming into the system seems to be enough. This is quite depressing. I don't know, Michael, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's symptomatic, I suppose, isn't it, of the scale of our problems, which have been accumulating now for three decades. Not everything the ANC has done has been a failure, as the statistician's report bears out. And indeed, the IRR has even made an argument about the enormous contribution that the early ANC administrations made to socioeconomic advances and so on. Very high rates of people getting into university and housing being built and access to electricity and so on. But there came a point where crucial steps, basic maintenance, basic management were overlooked or failed as a result of things like Jakarta deployment and so on, the direct policy choices made by the ANC, made by the ruling party, which compromised its own capacity to govern and administer. And so we see it right there, you know, City Power not being able to guarantee that it has, that its infrastructure can cope with the current circumstances. I mean, that's, you know, a very bold illustration of exactly the thing that we so often talk about on the show, isn't it?
Let's put it this way. In the past, 3 years, personally, I've seen heard three pieces of City Power infrastructure blow up in my vicinity that have caused a power outage for me. So this is not an isolated thing. This is systemic, unfortunately, to how Johannesburg is being run right now. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. We hope that you found the show interesting, and we will be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend Show. I hope you all have a wonderful day. that's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.